Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Welcome in Thursday edition of the show. NCAA tournament, at least for me, officially gets underway today. In fact, basically during this show, the tournament for 23-24 is underway. The race to the Final Four and the national championship. So much good basketball ahead. It's fun to sit here today and look at my bracket and think how bad it's going to be, but also how many great games we're going to see, how many big-time performances we're going to see, what type of upsets are going to happen today and tomorrow here in the first rounds of the tournament. And it's just a wonderful time of the year. I think that most of you probably agree. A little bit of a damper on it, as we discussed yesterday, for local people, with IU and Louisville both not in the field of 64 this year. But, you know, we actually had some pretty good first four games the last two nights. If you're really a diehard fan and you don't care anything about the teams or the coaches or the players and you just want to get your March Madness started, they were actually pretty good. And Colorado with a nice victory last night. I've got them going a couple games in the tournament. It seems like normally someone from the first four does have the ability to make that kind of run. So we'll talk about that, and we'll get you set for the tournament today. And going to have a lot of fun as we officially kick off the NCAA tournament with games across the country beginning very, very soon. Probably the best resource out there, and I was looking for it before we came on the air today. There is a schedule by game, by time, by day of the games with the television listings and who the announcers are and exactly what channel you'll find it on. And one thing I did, I didn't do this last year. I didn't have it on my phone or my iPad, but I've got the March Madness app all ready to go this year. And it actually, I'm not a big notifications guy. I don't want to be bugged. I got a lot of messages and things already, right? We're all busy people, but you could turn those notifications on. And it gives you updates on really close games or potential buzzer beater situations. And so like last night, I was doing some work. It came on an update from one of the first four games. I thought, hey, this is interesting. I'm going to click it on. You can either turn your TV on or open the app, phone, iPad, however you watch. And you can kind of keep up with things and not miss any of the real important, you know, moments live, which is always fun. So get that March Madness app if you don't have it. It's a great way to keep up with the tournament. And it's here. It's ready to go here in just an hour or less. It's fun to think about the NCAA tournament. We've got lots of basketball the next 3 weeks. Let's look at the show lineup today. A service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one in just a moment. We'll have our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll talk about the tournament. We'll talk about the transfer portal and Indiana coming up here in just a moment as well, and a few other things. Later today, Alex Bozich inside the hall. He is always with us on Thursdays. We'll talk IU and their situation as they are officially in off-season mode with no NIT opportunity, at least accepted by the Hoosiers. I assume that they were in the realm of possibilities for receiving an invite, but they are not going to play in the NIT. And you can tell, like basically every other staff in America, especially those that are not in the NCAA tournament, the focus really has been on the transfer portal. Indiana's reaching out to a lot of guys. I mean, there are just a number of names, players that is, that have mentioned Indiana as one of the schools that they heard from. And this whole portal thing is just crazy. I mean, the number of players that are entering, the number of good players that are entering, the number of key mid-major standouts that maybe want to try to finish their career at a little bit higher level of college basketball is amazing. And just how quickly that coaches are able to navigate and contact these guys, the race is on to be one of the first to reach out and hope that that is a fit for your school and for that player as well. So once again, it's basketball overload with the tournament and the portal Then we've got a lot of coaching news, especially locally with the Kenny Payne situation. There's been all kind of rumors there. We'll get into that a little bit later today, but we'll do all that here in segment one, segment two with Alex as well. And then later today, Steve Kerberg, a former high school head basketball coach in the area. He joins us today to talk a little local basketball. I'm sure we'll talk NCAA tournament with him as well and try to put a local flavor on things. And that's our lineup for today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check them out today for great lunch. They've got wonderful sandwiches and salads and soups that are made fresh daily and will surely satisfy any craving you have. You might even find something else to take home as they have a variety of dinner packages. Give Honey Baked Ham in New Albany a try. I think you'll be glad that you did. Thornton's text line is open. That number is 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Questions, comments, whatever it may be, IU, the NCAA tournament, really anything you want to talk about or ask about, you can send in your question. All you got to do is open up your text message on your phone, type in 502-414-1450 and send me a message. Check out Thornton's new chicken and waffle breakfast burrito. It's available every a.m. at all participating Thornton's locations. And send us a text on the Thornton's text line, 502-414-1450. Let's get into our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Through yesterday, four more players entering the transfer portal from Big Ten Conference schools. I think the number is up around 20 right now. That includes players from Oregon, UCLA, USC, and Washington. Yesterday, DeSante Bowen from Iowa, Demetrius Lilly from Penn State, Clifford Omero, I always mispronounce his name, for Rutgers. That's obviously one of the biggest names to enter the portal. And Mawat Mag from Rutgers as well. But Clifford from Rutgers, that's one of the bigger names from the conference to enter the portal so far, and there obviously will be more. Indiana still stands at three players. All of them entered earlier this week on the same day. C.J. Gunn, Caleb Banks, and Peyton Sparks all entering the portal just a few days ago on Tuesday, and that is where things stand. So you never know after postseason meetings happen if it's an immediate thing, if maybe there's some further discussions needed, or if players are consulting with agents and family and those sorts of people. But I will say, better knock on wood when saying this, but good news potentially for Indiana if they get through this week. And, you know, you don't want to see Malik Renu enter the portal. You don't want to see Mackenzie Mbako enter the portal. There's other players, obviously, you don't want to see. So those are key building blocks for next season. Now, is it possible that Mbako tries the NBA route? Absolutely. Is it likely that I think Ware tries that route and goes that route? Absolutely. That would be no surprise at all. But to lose those three especially to another college, to another school, would be very troubling, I think, here in the offseason. Indiana's already got a lot of question marks and issues and things to figure out for next season. There is no question about that. But to do so while replacing some of those guys and their production and their talent and what they could be next season with another year of college basketball under their belt gets very dicey, I think, for Mike Woodson and the staff. So retaining those guys, again, Ware will say to the NBA, but retaining Mbako and retaining Malik Renu, I think, is job one and two, or 1A and 1B, whatever order you want to put them in for Mike Woodson and his coaching staff. One other headline today, and this is more of a memory, John Decker, an old friend that works for IU, and I think he's the director of strategic communications for the IU athletic department. He always puts out these great tweets on this date, tweets that kind of take you back in history, some real old and some from not that many years ago. But on this day, March 21st, 2002, I was a senior in high school that year, Jared Jeffries, 24 points and 15 rebounds, keyed Indiana's shocking 74-73 win over number one Duke in the Sweet 16. IU overcame a 17-point deficit, and the victory was secured when Jay Williams missed a game-tying free throw with 4.2 seconds left. And the photo is A.J. Moye and Dane Fife streaking down the floor, meeting some of their teammates to give them a big hug with excited looks on their face. And I just saw A.J. Moye over the weekend at Newcastle. He's been out and about with Valpo not in the tournament, doing some recruiting here during the IHSA state tournament. And he was watching Jeff and watching some of the teams at the 4A Newcastle semi-state with some really good talent there. So it was neat to see him and kind of to remember that great March moment, which again is March 22, 2002, long time ago, that Indiana beat number one Duke. That was quite a memory, I can tell you that, as somebody who grew up in some not so great days for the Hoosiers as far as postseason success. A couple other things to mention. Transfer portal for Indiana. A lot of guys that have listed Indiana. We went through some of those names yesterday. One of the new names, this guy is interesting. He is Leland Walker, and he is actually from Indianapolis, and he's got a whole bunch of schools that are after him, including Kansas and Iowa and Seton Hall and Georgetown and a lot of big schools. But Indiana, one of the schools that have reached out to him. He played at Eastern Kentucky last season, had a great season for the Colonels down in Richmond, Kentucky, and he is a name that Indiana has reached out to. Another new name, Dayton Albury. He said he's heard from Indiana, Kansas State, FAU, UCF, Virginia Tech, Sanford, among others. He is one of the was one of the key newcomers to the A-Sun Conference this past season. He played for Queens in that conference. So those are just a couple of new names that Indiana has been mentioned with here recently, but definitely a lot of activity in the transfer portal, men's and women's. It has been a happening place, that is for sure. U of L coaching search, obviously, we're not going to have any new news that you probably haven't seen on some of the television stations, and everybody in the Louisville market is tracking this coaching search so very closely. But it does appear, according to some reporting out there, that Scott Drew is going to take a bigger deal, a better deal at Baylor, and is off the market as far as being a candidate for the Louisville men's basketball job, which would lead you to believe that Dusty May, who likely is going to be pursued by Michigan and some other schools, even with Ohio State being off the market, is maybe their top choice right now. We don't know that, but that would make sense. Dusty's going to be one of the hottest names this offseason, and the feel is out there, again, just a feel from people that know him or have followed this thing, the feel is out there that he is likely looking to make a move from Florida Atlantic. You remember last time when they made the Final Four, he was very adamant about staying put there and seeing what he could build there, which is pretty cool. But it does seem like he is interested in making a move. Mick Cronin's name has been mentioned both at Louisville and Michigan as well, and a whole bunch of other names. I saw Charleston coach Pat Kelsey, who actually was a former assistant to Coach Mack and also Dino Gaudio. Shaheen Holloway, I like him, from Seton Hall. Eric Musselman at Arkansas, I believe his name has still been mentioned associated with that job, but who really knows at this point? Coaches' searches are so interesting. It's always wild to see what information gets out that is totally false and what information makes the rounds that actually has some merit to it. But I think Louisville in an interesting place here, and we'll see if Dusty May is potentially their guy. I think it's going to be really, really, really interesting to see exactly what happens and how things play out here over the coming days for Louisville. Of course, a lot of it depends on Dusty May and Northwestern. I read an outstanding story last night. Dusty and his Florida Atlantic team are going to take on Northwestern in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Obviously, a very interesting game, I think, for IU fans, because I think we pull for Dusty May, right? If you're an Indiana fan or if you follow the team, he's a former manager and worked there, and obviously I think a lot of people want him at some point to come back and be the coach if the timing were to work out with things. But taking on Northwestern, a Big Ten school, a school that Indiana knows very well, and of course Northwestern has had its share of Indiana guys, and they've actually got an Indiana connection right there that ties in with Dusty May. So that was interesting to read. We may talk a little bit more about that coming up in the show today, but definitely ready for the tournament. Some great first round games coming up here in just a bit. And I told you yesterday I've got Connecticut and UConn in the national championship game. I've got UConn against Baylor and Kentucky against Tennessee in the Final Four. So probably pick opposite of me, but that's what I'm going with in the NCAA tournament bracket this year. 502-414-1450 is the Thornton's text line. Again, 502-414-1450 is the Thornton's text line. Love to hear questions and comments from you. You can send them in. We'll get them on the air today here in this Thursday edition of our show. We'll step out for a quick commercial break. We're back with Alex Bozich here in just a moment. We'll get into IU hoops, the transfer portal, and we got to talk a little NCAA tournament as well. Stay with us here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back on this Thursday program, Alex Bozich inside the hall with us as we talk the latest with IU basketball. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Alex, I think everybody wants to know, do you predict, do you think there will be more entrants to the portal from the current IU roster?
Wow, Matt, you're coming off the top rope with the first question. I like it. It's tough to say. My current guess right now would be no. My understanding is, you know, there have been meetings with the current players for a while now, and I think some meetings took place kind of earlier this week to firm up some plans in terms of the guys going in the portal. So my guess right now would be, now obviously there's, you know, the chance Khalil Ware goes to the NBA, I think it's pretty high. I mean, I think McKenzie and Bacco could definitely test those NBA waters as well. But in terms of other guys going into the portal, at this point, I'm not expecting any other names to go in. But I'll caveat that with the fact that the stuff's all very fluid and things can change quickly, as we know. But, you know, I think that for now, that's the expectation is, it's those three guys, which still leaves Indiana right now with six open scholarships. And if Khalil Ware goes pro, that's seven. That's a lot of roster work to do. And I really don't think Indiana wants to lose anybody else because, you know, there's been some research done out there and some different things I've seen on social media. There, you know, teams that have gone that heavy on the portal have not been particularly successful this season in college basketball. So, you know, if I'm Indiana, I'm looking, you know, maybe to get five or six out of the portal. Maybe if they can find, you know, a decommit somewhere, a freshman like they have last year, doesn't even really have to be as highly ranked a guy as what they've gotten the last 3 years in Tamar Bates and Malik Renew and McKenzie and Baco. But if they can find, you know, a freshman that they think can help next season and beyond, I wouldn't be surprised for them to go that route either with some coaching changes, things like that. But, you know, as far as to answer your first question there, Matt, you know, at this point, I'm not anticipating anybody else entering the portal.
Alex, let's talk about the guys that have entered the portal. They all three came in the same day. C.J. Gunn, also Peyton Sparks, and Caleb Banks, the three IU players that are expected to depart the program. I know it's kind of hard to say, especially for Banks, but maybe you can talk a little bit more about Gunn and Sparks specifically. What is Indiana losing in those prospects, and where could they resurface? Do you think that they'll land at other high major schools, or do you think that Gunn could go to a mid-major and maybe stand out there, and could Sparks, could he return to a school like Ball State at that level and have a good finish to his career?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of looking at, you know, you mentioned talking more about Gunn and Sparks, but I kind of want to talk just in general about Gunn and Banks as a duo because, you know, they were at Indiana for 2 years, and they were they sort of fit the profile of guys that maybe don't come in and make a huge impact, but you develop to have kind of later in their careers, and by the time they're juniors and seniors, maybe one of the starter, but at minimum, they're rotation players that can help you. As much as we've talked about guys like a Trace Jackson Davis and, you know, Jalen Huchefino, Khalil Ware, like these star players developing, I think the failure really to develop either one of those guys over the course of two seasons is a fair criticism of this Indiana program right now, because it's not like either one of these, you know, those guys were both, and I know rankings don't mean everything, but Caleb Banks was a top 100 player. CJ Gunn was an Indiana All-Star, I think somewhere ranked like 175 when it was all said and done. There's talent with both of those guys, and, you know, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes in terms of work ethic and what was emphasized and all that, but, you know, I think to get really, I don't want to say they got nothing out of either guy, but, I mean, really, they got pretty much the bare minimum out of both of them. I think that's kind of a red flag in terms of player development. In terms of where all three could end up, you know, I don't know, based on what I saw out of any of the three of them, that I would advise any of them, and obviously they're free to make their own decisions, and I'm sure they'll have opportunities to go a variety of places. I don't know that high major fits any of them. Caleb Banks, I think there's some talent there, but he needs to play. I mean, he didn't really play and get the opportunity to develop on the court this season. He basically fell out of the rotation beginning like in early January and didn't play the rest of the year. That's not good. I mean, he should go somewhere where he's going to get an opportunity for minutes, and to me that's probably the mid-major level. CJ Gunn, you know, maybe he can go to some place like Butler. You know, that's obviously not a mid-major school. They're being in the Big East. That a place like that potentially, you know, could be a fit for him. I don't know what he's looking, where he's looking to go, but same thing with him. I mean, he came in billed as a shooter. I think shot something like 37-38% as a senior at Lawrence North, and his career three-point shooting percentage is in the 20s. That's, you know, he got the opportunity to produce and really didn't take advantage of it. And Peyton Sparks, kind of looking at his numbers of what he did at Ball State, he's kind of the classic guy of, you know, trying to take a step up in competition and just really doesn't have the athleticism or the explosiveness to go against the top players in the Big Ten. He worked fine and at times in the non-conference play and gave him some energy minutes. And it would have been fine if he came back and was the 12th or 13th man, I think. But if he aspired to do more than that, I understand him moving on and Indiana moving on as well. Maybe try to get a player that fits more profile of what they're looking for, somebody that can maybe block more shots, a little bit more size in terms of height and length. But, you know, I don't think it'd be the worst idea in the world for him to go back to Ball State if that door's still open. He had a ton of success there. The first 2 years was an all-MAC type of player. I think that's the kind of level that would fit him perfectly. So with all three guys, I mean, I understand them moving on. I don't think Indiana could have gone into next season with any of those three guys being counted on for anything of significance. And you got to mix the roster up a little bit and try to get some new guys in there, new faces.
Sorry, Alex, I didn't mean to cut you off. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, our guest with us here on this Thursday edition of the show. You guys just posted a story on this at InsideTheHall.com, but if you're Mike Woodson and the coaches, I mean, some of it's obvious to probably any fan that's even watched just a few games, but what are specifically some things Indiana is targeting or needs to target, and maybe from some of the guys that have listed Indiana that's reached out to them so far, what can you tell about some of these guys that Indiana is targeting? Are they trending toward any certain position or certain need?
I mean, there's a lot of needs. First thing I would say is right now on these lists, you know, I called it a watch list because at this point that's what it is. In my opinion, it's not a big board or a ranking of guys in terms of people that have been reached out to. I would really pay attention next week to who's hitting the portal, because after this weekend, you're going to be down to a Sweet 16. There's a ton of tournament teams that are going to lose, and there's going to be a lot of movement from those teams, guys hitting the portal. And I think you're going to get a much higher quality of player hitting the portal next week. So while I think it's been smart for Indiana to reach out to some of these guys and kind of gauge what's out there and see what's out there, I think this is going to be a situation where this list continues to evolve and different names pop up. In terms of areas of need or specifics, I mean, it's obvious they need a point guard. They need a point guard who can not only shoot from the perimeter but can distribute the ball, defend at a high level. I mean, they need to be looking, if there's a list of the top 5 to 7 point guards at the end of the portal, those are the guys they need to be going after. In terms of wings and, shooters, they've got to find guys who can make three-point shots at a consistent level. You look at all the guys that they've reached out to so far, there's a lot of guys shooting 35, 36, 37% and up on threes. I mean, that's a good start. That's kind of the profile of what they need to be going after. And in terms of the front court, they need a big man who can obviously you're not going to get a Khalil Ware or a Trayce Jackson-Davis. Oh, I mean, I'm not saying you can't find a player that's high impact and a guy that could be an NBA guy, but they've really been lucky to have those two the last couple of years. I think you need to find a guy who can run the floor, can block shots, has some athleticism. If they can score a little bit, I think that's a bonus, but you really need a guy that can defend in the post and rebound the ball, because if you're going to play Malik Renew at the four again, which all indications are that Indiana's going to go that route, I don't think Renew can play the five anyway, like in terms of the rebounding and shot blocking responsibilities that brings with it. So they got to find somebody that can do that. And I mean, with the wing position and the shooting, I think you need multiple guys in that realm, and I think you need multiple guards, because you got Jakai Newton, you got Gabe Cupps, you got Trey Galloway, you got Anthony Leal. Realistically, of those guys, Trey Galloway is the only one that should even be considered a starter going into next season, potentially. I mean, I think best case scenario, if you can find a situation where he's like your first man off the bench or your fifth best starter, you're in pretty good shape. The guards that they get, they don't need guards that are going to provide depth. They need guards that can come in and play 25, 30 minutes a game and, like, produce. It's not a situation where you want to go in next year with, Gabe Cupps and Trey Galloway. Nothing against Gabe Cupps, but, they've got to do much better from that position and try to develop Gabe Cupps for the future and, see what you have, obviously, with Jakai Newton. But they got to get guys that can make an impact. It's not a situation where you just roll the dice on somebody and say, they better be sure that if you're going to reach down and get a low or a mid-major guy, you better be sure that they're like a Tyson Walker that went to Michigan State. You don't want somebody that's going to come in and give you an impact similar to what, maybe put numbers up at a lower level, similar to what Peyton Sparks did, and now all of a sudden they come up to the Big Ten and they're not the same player. That's simply what cannot happen.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. Thornton's text line texter says, Woodson ain't getting no good press and his job was questionable 2 weeks ago. This looks uphill to me pulling a winning team together for him. That's obvious comments on that, Alex, given Mike Woodson's job status and given how the season went. I know there was an uptick there at the very end that maybe helped things a bit, but where did things stand from that perspective heading into the offseason, and how can the season that Indiana had or rumors and rumblings of a coach's future, how can that affect things when it relates to the portal?
Well, I mean, they're going to have money to spend in the portal, so there's going to be guys that want NIL and are going to come and be able to produce, I think, to a certain extent. The problem is being able to kind of determine, is the guy just coming only for the NIL or are they coming to try to help Indiana win games? As far as Mike Woodson, I totally agree with the texter's comment that it's going to be an uphill battle trying to build a team through the portal, because, I mean, it's not like they just need one or two guys. I mean, they need multiple. They need to hit on, like, I'm not necessarily saying they have to hit like a home run on like all five or six, but they got to get at least like two or three impact guys that can like help them win games next season, and like high level producers out of the portal. And that everyone's trying to get those. That's the problem. That's really what hurts with losing Liam McNeely, is that that was a clear need for the program for next season. He's out of the fold now, so that's just one more thing you need. And it's going to be fierce competition. All the best teams in the country are going to be trying for these guys too, and they're going to be able to say, well, you know, we just went to the tournament. We just went to the Elite Eight. We went to the Final Four, and people were talking about Mike Woodson being on the hot seat. They're going to have to recruit against that. So that's just the reality. Mike Woodson can say, you know, he's done his job and all this other stuff about his job status. Well, he's going to be the one that has to go out there and sell these recruits and these portal guys that he's going to be able to get this turned around. And they're going to have to – there's going to be some guys that, quite frankly, are probably going to have to take a chance on Indiana, because the reality is – and I talked about this yesterday. My dad talked about it. We did a podcast together over on Podcast on the Brink, and he brought up a pretty good point. When the college basketball preseason magazines come out next – you know, what will be like August, September – he can guarantee you, as my dad said, and I agree with him 100%, all the hot seat lists are going to have Mike Woodson either one or right near the top of the list. There's no getting around that. So if you thought, you know, the negative recruiting stuff against Indiana has been bad in the past at all, this spring, programs are definitely going to point to the fact that there's heat on Woodson, and, you know, why would you want to go there? And they're going to have to be able to overcome that. And that's what Mike Woodson's getting paid, you know, over $4 million a year to do. He's going to be the one that has to figure it out, because if he doesn't and they don't, you know, hit some home runs in the portal, they're going into basically a lame duck season next season, and that'll be the end of it, and they'll have to move on and get another coach. So it's really a make-or-break situation for him this spring. He's got to figure out a way to get it done, and it's fascinating from that perspective, and there's been a ton of interest in it. I think people are curious to see how it all ends up. And obviously the Indiana fan base cares a lot about the program and wants to see them succeed, and they want to see them do well in the portal. And it's going to be, I think, from a pure curiosity standpoint, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch how this develops over the next month or so and who they're able to reel in.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. He joins us Thursdays on the show. Let's talk a little NCAA tournament before we let you go. Give us your Final Four, and maybe what game are you most excited to watch here on Thursday?
Well, Matt, I don't even have my bracket in front of me, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to give you my Final Four, but I did go kind of chalky with the pick in terms of who's going to win it all. I went with UConn, which, I mean, it's hard to go against them at this point because they're playing as well as anybody. And, you know, you watch Dan Hurley on the sidelines and his confidence and the way he coaches his team. It's hard to bet against him. And, they've got great guards. They've got Klingon in the post, who's terrific. They got guys that can make threes. I just think it's a really well-constructed roster. I think they're playing well. And, you know, you never really usually pick a team to go back-to-back, but I'm picking UConn to go back-to-back. I actually think my other Final Four picks, I believe I picked Tennessee, Kentucky, and Arizona, I believe was the other one, now that I'm thinking about it. So those are the four that I went with. Really like Tennessee, what they were able to do. I know they've kind of had a couple of rough games here towards the end of the season, but I love what Dalton Connect's able to do. And Kentucky, you know, it's hard to bet on them winning four games in a row, but at the same time, the bracket at the region at the end is not necessarily – I think it's the weakest of the four in terms of having Houston as the one, Marquette as the two. I think Kentucky got a pretty nice draw there. If they can, you know, continue to score the ball at a high level, I think they got a chance to make a good run. I also like Arizona a lot. So kind of chalky picks there. Definitely probably get two or three of those wrong for sure. That's how it goes every year with me filling out a bracket. But I'm just looking forward to the game starting here in about, less than an hour. I think we got Michigan State and Mississippi State tipping off on CBS. So tournament will be underway, and it's one of the better weekends of the year from a sports perspective. Some might argue it's the best, and I'm just looking forward to having a chance to watch it and soak it all in.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Final question, Dusty May, do you feel like he will be the guy at Louisville? Any insight there?
I know Michigan wants him too, or at least there's been a lot of talk of that. It's going to be interesting if he is able to beat Northwestern and give UConn a game. I think the price for him is just going to continue to go up because you've got competing schools trying to get him. It seems like Michigan's definitely in the mix. Louisville has been talked about as well. So I don't know. If I'm Dusty May, I don't know which job I prefer out of those two. I mean, obviously Louisville's got more prestige and more long-term history, but Michigan does offer the platform of the Big Ten. I think it's a more stable conference and kind of maybe more in line with, you know, where he'd want to end up. I know Ohio State was a job that was potentially attractive to him as well. So I'd be surprised if he ended up somewhere other than one of those two schools. But, I think it's a big weekend for him. You know, if he's able to go out there and beat Northwestern and give UConn a game, I think, he may make himself quite a bit more money, make himself a little bit more attractive on the market. So rooting for him to do that, and hopefully, you know, that team's been a lot of fun to watch, and hopefully they'll have a good showing here in the tournament. But in terms of where he's going to end up, I think it'll be one of those two places.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, at Inside the Hall on Twitter and social media. Thank you, sir. Enjoy basketball today and this weekend, and we'll talk next week.
Absolutely, Matt. Have a good one. Thank you.
All right. He is with us Thursdays, a great voice on IU basketball, even into the offseason. There is so much to talk about with this program year-round, and this offseason will be no difference, that's for sure. We will head to a commercial break and come back with Steve Kerberg, former high school basketball coach in the area, great friend of the show. We'll talk some high school hoops, and we'll get into the NCAA tournament with Steve's picks as well. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this, the Thursday show, Thornton's text line, 502-414-1450. Texter says, great segment with Alex today. He hit it right on the head. With IU recruiting, it's going to be tough for IU to get the top players. And I agree. I think the next few weeks, the next month or so with the transfer portal is going to be very, very interesting to follow, to say the least. Want to mention this. Coach Cignetti just met with the media after Indiana's first spring football practice. His first comments to the media was, they let you guys sit down. And he talked about how he stands up. He could stand up for hours. They do have the media seated there at the little setup after practices. And then someone asked him on the way out of the press conference if he is rooting for JMU, his former school in the NCAA tournament. They play a first-round game tomorrow. And his response was, who are they playing? They made the tournament, huh? Basketball tournament? Question mark. So obviously a guy that is either putting on a show, I don't think that's fully the case, but very, very locked in to this IU football program right now. Steve Kerberg, former high school coach in the area, great friend of the game and the show, joins us. Coach, a quick segment here, but I know you and I share a great passion and love for basketball. So for those of us listeners like us, this weekend, it's one of the best of the year.
Oh, man, it's like Christmas. It's exciting. I look forward to it every single year. And I'm sure people everywhere working at their jobs today are trying to find a way to watch the game. So it's a great week. The whole week, Thursday through Sunday, is just as good as it gets with basketball.
Coach, we don't have a lot of time today, but I want to hit you with a couple questions. You've been a high school coach. You've guided teams to some postseason success before and put a lot of time in preparations for these tournament runs. How awkward is it for the coaches remaining to go sectional, regional, semi-state in back-to-back weeks and then all of a sudden have a weekend off with no game because of the NCAA tournament situation in Indianapolis?
It is very odd. You know, during the season, I enjoyed those breaks as a head coach because I looked at that practice time as the opportunity to really improve as a team. You know, it's just tricky. It's tricky how much time you give off to your guys. It's tricky, you know, how hard you push them and how much time you spend on preparation for the opponent. 2 weeks is a long time, but I don't think they're going to have any problems keeping their guys focused, man. What a special opportunity. And even with local teams here, Brownstown and Scottsburg, I mean, they're having historic seasons for those programs and two great coaches. And I think they'll figure out a way to keep their guys engaged and to be able to prepare for their opponent.
Steve Kerberg with us here on this Thursday show. I think my initial read on it, Brownstown and Scottsburg both have some good challenges ahead, but I think they're winnable games. I think we could have two true Southern Indiana champions next weekend.
Yeah, the basketball in this area is just wonderful. And I heard Coach Wilkerson talking about how good the coaching is in Southern Indiana, and I believe that wholeheartedly. If you look around at some of the coaches in this area and what they do with their program, it's incredible. We're really blessed to have high-level basketball in this area, and there seems to be just constant waves of talent at a lot of the schools in the area, and it's exciting to see what the next couple of years could even hold for a lot of programs in the area.
Steve Kerberg with us here on this Thursday show. Coach, NCAA tournament begins today. I respect your basketball mind a lot and the thinking you use in the game. Who is your Final Four? Did you fill out a bracket? I know you're busy. Did you stop and fill out a bracket, Coach Kerberg?
We're doing a family challenge. So, yeah, I had to fill one out today, actually. And I ended up with UConn, Baylor, Houston, and Purdue. UConn and Purdue in the championship. And I know this is the Hoosier Report, but I chose Purdue to get it done this year. I don't know if they will. You know, when we grew up in this area as Hoosier fans, Kentucky and Louisville were kind of our rivals. At least that's how I was raised and felt. And, you know, I guess the further up north you go, the more that there's a hatred for the rival Purdue. You know, but it's so hard to not cheer for Purdue with all the Indiana kids on the team, even the local connections here, Trey Kaufman, Wren, and loaded with kids from Indiana schools that we followed their careers, and they're really actually fun to watch, and it's hard not to cheer them on. I know that's blasphemy for a lot of Hoosier fans, but it's hard not to want to see them be successful.
Alex Bozich and Steve Kerber, a great guest here on our Thursday program with us every week. Coach, as we close out today, basketball and the transfer portal, I should say the NCAA tournament and the transfer portal, it's a lot to talk about. It's a lot for fans to digest. Do you think there needs to be a change in the portal opening overlapping with NCAA tournaments and NIT and causing some teams likely to not take their NIT opportunities? Indiana, probably one of those teams. Do you think there needs to be some adjustment here?
I think we're just in the early stages of a lot of changes with NIL and the transfer portal. I think they can refine it a little bit. I think you got to look at how it really impacts high school seniors that are great players that are trying to get recruited and could play at the next level. It's so easy for a college coach just to go, you know, to somebody that's college ready, that's had some experience at that level, but then they pass on tremendous prospects that could be long-term successes at the college level.
All right, good stuff. Coach, thanks for joining us. We'll talk again next Thursday.
Hey, have a great weekend.
Texter on the Thornton's text line says, as far as the portal goes, we will see how loud money talks. I agree with that sentiment totally. Thank you for the text. Have a great Thursday. Enjoy the NCAA tournament. Watch as many games as you can. Take it all in. We'll talk about it tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.